The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brain.
Crossover, step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Right here on 960theref.com.
What's up, everybody? Sam Franco, Chris Brain. We are back. It is the Crossover Podcast right here on 960theref.com. We are presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. And Brain, that's a good enough segue for me to get right into this week's Fully Loaded Question of the Week. And it comes to us from Jack O'Morse. He has a UGA email, so I'm not sure if he's still a UGA student or was a UGA student, but good on you, Jack. You have won a $20 gift card to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. And Brain, I'll throw the question out to you, and you seem to have worked up an answer for this. And you and I were talking about this yesterday. I also, you know, have a few guesses as to this. I haven't looked super deep into it, but it seems pretty easy on the surface.
Well, you know, you've got to start with, like, there's only like a handful of schools that would even be contenders, you would think.
So. Well, here's the question. With Anthony Edwards committing, UGA as a consensus top five, if not top two recruit in both their 2019 football class, Nolan Smith, and 2019 basketball class in Anthony Edwards, he says, I know this has never happened in UGA history. Has any school had both a top five basketball and football recruit in the same year? And I immediately started thinking about both Ohio State and Florida when they made their runs. I know Greg Oden was at Florida or at Ohio State, and then Florida had the trio there of good players, including Al Horford and Joakim Noah. So I think they would fall into it, I would assume.
Well, if you go by top five, it's happened several times. But if you just go and
– like number one overall.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, these recruiting services, there are several of them now, and they have different rankings. I mean, they don't stray from each other that much. But, you know, Anthony Edwards has been – some ranking might have him number one overall. Some might have him number two overall. Same thing with Nolan Smith. But if you just want to say, has Georgia signed the top basketball and football prospect in the country? That happened one other time. That was in 2008, and it was Ohio State, who, according to Rivals, signed the number one basketball prospect, a big kid named B.J. Mullins, and that was the year they signed Terrell Pryor in football. I think that same year, like 24/7 Sports had both of those guys ranked number two. But if you're just looking at like consensus top five or one and two, Texas did it with Durant. They also signed Sergio Kindle that year. USC signed Joe McKnight, who was the number one football prospect, and that was the same year they brought in O.J. Mayo, who was like the number two or number three basketball prospect. So if you're looking at it from a top five, yeah, it's happened before. It's still rare, but you are looking at – I didn't see Florida on there.
Really? I mean, were Noah and Horford and those guys not big-time recruits?
Or, you know, I guess when they got there, well, that was around, well, 06 they won the football title, and when
and
did
the football title was in between two basketball titles. They went basketball, football, basketball.
Yeah, and I guess Tebow, was he 05?
He would have been
signed
in there.
Yeah. I mean, those basketball prospects must not have been like top five prospects. But, you know, again, these recruiting rankings, recruiting's always been important, of course, but, you know, it's really only been the industry that it's become since like the early 2000s. So I think a lot of those databases online go back to 2003, and that's what I was, you know, just looking through there. I mean, you know, like Duke and North Carolina have frequently signed a top basketball prospect. Same with Kentucky, but you don't even have to bother looking whether or not they've signed a top football prospect. And so, you know, you kind of start and you think Texas, Ohio State. There was that one example with USC, and now all of a sudden, though, Georgia's entered the mix for sure.
Yeah. So great news for Georgia there to enter into that fray. And once again, congratulations to Jack O'Morse. You are the winner of this week's $20 gift card for being the Fully Loaded Question of the Week. If you want to try to win a $20 gift card to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville for yourself, it's very simple. Email 960theref@coxradio.com. Submit your Fully Loaded Question of the Week. It could be about Georgia football. It could be about the Falcons, the Braves, Hawks, anything sports. Or, you know, if you want to get behind the podcast a little bit and want to know what Brain's favorite food is, or you want to know what my favorite music is, or anything like that, email 960theref@coxradio.com.
and you'll have a chance to win, be our winner for a $20 gift card to Folioto Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. All right, we'll jump in on today's podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about the Georgia football schedule and the flipping of the Auburn and Tennessee games. Then we'll take a quick break so Fully Loaded can give you some words from them. And then we'll jump back and talk a little college basketball with the horrible way that Georgia basketball game ended the other night with a fan throwing the stuffed beanie dog on the court. And then we'll also talk about the Duke-North Carolina game and Zion Williamson and possibility of him maybe, you know, not playing any more college basketball. I mean, I think that's a real possibility.
Yeah, I think as we are sitting here right now recording this, the update this morning that came from Duke and Coach K was that they said it was a mild knee sprain and they would re-update it later on in the day. And, you know, that mild knee sprain certainly doesn't sound severe. Like, the possibility would be there that he could come back. And I guess we'll just have to see, you know, how much of Zion's life and those millions of dollars flashed in front of his eyes last night when he popped out of his Nike.
Yeah, and certainly that created a firestorm on social media of people, you know, wondering what that would do to, you know, the that shoe company's brand. But I think the bigger thing here is obviously the injury that Coach K is calling a minor sprain.
Yeah.
But it brings to question, and a lot of people have thrown this out there on social media, what should Zion do? I mean, should this kind of warning sign make him not play college basketball anymore? And I'm not in there because, look, I think if you start a season with a school, you should finish that season. That doesn't mean that you should stay all 4 years or that you shouldn't leave after you're a junior or anything like that. I think if you're physically healthy and can play, you should be playing. That being said, I've never had the prospect of being the number one overall draft pick in the NBA and millions 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 of dollars being thrown at me.
Well, no, remember earlier in the season when Scottie Pippen said Zion should stop playing?
Should stop playing.
And, you know, Pippen's probably watching that game last night. They could
see.
I told you so. Now, hopefully it's not a severe injury, but, I mean, so many people have, even with Nick Bosa. I mean, we did just see it in college football. The guy that's projected to be the number one pick in the NFL draft was dealing with some injuries, and he said, I'm done playing. I'm going to go get ready for the draft now, and that was the end of it. And, you know, maybe Zion decides to do the same thing, but I don't know. It's just funny in this day and age, like, everybody gets on and, you know, they've got an opinion on what Zion Williamson should do, and, like, he should do whatever he wants to do. And if he and if that is not playing at Duke anymore,
so be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm with you there, but we'll get back into that in a little bit because it does create a whole different conversation about that. And also, I wanted to get to the price of tickets people are paying to get into that game, Duke and North Carolina. Yeah, so we'll get to that.
To see him play for 33 seconds.
We'll get to that a little later in the podcast. But first, man, Georgia fans up in a roar after they found out that not only was it a rumor that Georgia and Auburn may be playing earlier in the season, but hours after that sort of started surfacing, it became not a rumor. It became fact.
That's what was so shocking to me was when, you know, Tuesday night is when you first saw that report. I guess it came from an Auburn beat reporter. And then so you're kind of like dealing with it on Wednesday throughout the day. And then by about like 5:30 or 6 o'clock on Wednesday, it was announced that, oh, yeah, we're switching that. And the suddenness of it, you know, like, wait a second. Aren't we going to talk about this? We're not going to have a discussion about it. And so it's done starting in 2020. And you know, I think at Jerry Moorhead, like the one of the quotes that he had about being surprised that Georgia fans would react to that news negatively, I can't believe for a second that he's surprised by that. I certainly don't think that he's that out of it or ignorant. But what I do think Jerry Moorhead feels is that he just doesn't care how Georgia fans feel about it. But saying that he's surprised that they would react negatively about it is a much softer blow than just flat out saying what he really means. And that's that he just doesn't care. And the reason he doesn't care is because he doesn't have to care, because what are we going to do? Not watch the Georgia-Auburn game because it's going to be played in late September or early October now? Of course not. And they know that. And that's why, you know, fans are basically treated the way that they are. And damn all the tradition.
Yeah, exactly. And this is how I feel about it. I find myself struggling to get worked up about it. So it's not an issue that I'm really super passionate about, other than the fact that I loved Georgia-Auburn being in November because there are a few things that I identify just personally with Georgia Auburn. A cool, crisp air, you know, wearing a jacket, that late fall feel to it being, you know, kind of turning into winter, if you will, sort of. So that's kind of how that feels to me. Having it in late September, early October, when, you know, I could be sweating buckets out there and 90-plus degree temps, feels a little different.
Right, and that's, you know, part of what has made college football great is just it's for forever. It's been built in this foundation of tradition, and so many of those are being just swept away now. But the reason that they are is because the people in position of power just know it doesn't matter because fans are not going to turn away, and that's why this was done and done so quickly and with no regard for how anybody was going to feel about it. You've got a century-old rivalry, the Deep South's oldest rivalry that's been played in November every year since 1936 and has only been not played in November six or seven times in the history of the series, and now it's going to move. And I get it's the location of a game here. Like, look, Georgia's going to play Auburn. I'm going to watch them whenever they play. That's fine. To me, like, the bigger issue here is that once again Georgia has bent the knee for the SEC with apparently nothing in return, and we've done Auburn a favor because now they're in a better position where they don't have to play us and Alabama twice in 3 weeks in the last month of the season. And what do we get for it? According to Greg McGarrity, they're not coming here 2 years in a row to pay us back for when we did that for them.
Well, but apparently if they were, it's not that simple, because if you did do that, it messes up everybody else's schedules in the conference. The reason they were able to do it the year they did or whatever is because they had reset everything.
Sure.
So that's not – Georgia fans automatically go to that with this, and that's not a realistic solution or whatever to the problem now just because of how many other schools it impacts.
Right, we'd have to wait until 25. Yeah. But even then, it doesn't sound like there's any movement where, like, oh, eventually they'll pay us back.
Well, it'd be nice if they did that for sure. But the reason I think, too, that I'm hesitant to come with a really strong, definitive take here is because I just think there's so much unknown. We talk about on the surface, yes, it looks like Georgia has acquiesced to whatever Auburn wants to do here. But McGarrity said it himself in his statement. You know, the things that happen in these AD meetings stay behind closed doors.
Except when they don't, like,
well,
this.
They're supposed to.
Right, but that's his, like, not wanting transparency, and to me, for good reason.
Well,
like,
that's fair,
he wants everyone to know that he just lays on his back and gets his belly rubbed.
Well, and that's fair, I guess, but at the same time, you know, I don't know for sure what happened behind those closed doors other than the fact that we now know that Georgia and Auburn are flipping things on the schedule. That's it. That's all I know. So I can go by what it looks like, but at the same time, there's probably a lot about this that we don't know and that we'll never know.
If you think Georgia was getting something good out of it, though, don't you think we would know that wouldn't be secret that they want to keep?
But, I mean, I think there is some good that comes out of this. I think that – you know, I know this year it's different because Vanderbilt's on the front of the schedule, but 9 times out of 10, you play Vanderbilt and Tennessee back-to-back. And those were trips that you went to Tennessee back-to-back weeks. So now that you move that later in the year, you don't have to worry about that anymore. So I think that's a positive. And you can also look at it as playing Auburn earlier in the year, just historically, might help you out because they tend to slip up way more in the beginning of the year than at the end.
Well, that is when they have those weak moments, and when they get rolling, and Georgia found that out a couple of, 2 years ago when they went over there and got beaten, and luckily we got a revenge in the SEC championship game, but still, this is something Auburn wanted. They wanted to move those games away from each other because they've gotten into this situation where either the Georgia game is both at home. Every other year they have to play them both on the road, and they play them twice in 3 weeks. And so it just is – time and time again, it's like Georgia's the team and the school that rolls over and just does what it's told. And I know, I mean, that's what McGarrity says, is that we keep that stuff private, except it's not. We knew about this before it happened. We've seen LSU and Florida bicker with each other when it came to that that hurricane game. But when it's, you know, when it suits his needs and his messages, then he's all for the lack of transparency. But I would think if there was something good coming out of this, it would want people to know, because he has to be aware that there's a pretty severe backlash to this.
I would agree, but at the same time, I mean, what if just we don't know. What if he did fight tooth and nail for this and just got outbid by the rest of the conference? That's the thing. This is probably a majority rules type thing, and if the rest of the conference was like, yeah, sure, whatever, we don't care, and Georgia fights against it, but they're outnumbered, what are you going to do? Well, you can fight all you want, but sometimes you can't win. That's just reality.
Well, I mean, this couldn't have, I mean, I don't know. Is this the rest of the conference ganging up on Georgia? Like, Georgia has no power or no say in it?
Well, here's the thing.
That's silly.
Tennessee probably, you know, they may have, they seem to have wanted to do this too because they seem to have a much easier schedule on the back end of the season. So maybe you alleviate some of the toughness on the front end by moving Georgia to the back.
Okay, so they get some, they get what they want too. And again, I'm just asking, well, what does Georgia get back?
Well, I mean, it's one thing, the same thing, but again, moving that Tennessee game helps you out because 9 times out of 10, those were back to back weeks where you were taking trips to Tennessee.
Oh, but one of the games is to Vandy. I mean, that's not a big deal. But it's, again, it's just so Tennessee gets something, Auburn gets something. Again, it's just over and over. What is Georgia getting out of it?
Oh, I feel.
We didn't even get a call last night in the basketball game.
I feel what you're saying, but again, this just feels like more like fan uproar and stuff like that. That we're all making a lot of assumptions here, man, and I just don't have enough information to jump off that cliff and jump into that.
We wouldn't have to make assumptions if the powers that be were transparent with us. But
well,
that's
every school now. I mean, that's not going the other way.
Well,
most every school. Right?
I mean,
it's going the other
way.
We
knew about this before it happened. But if there was transparency, we wouldn't have to make assumptions about it. But the assumption I make is that we do not have an athletics director that fights for Georgia.
No, that's
that is not a strong advocate for the school. We lost the NCAA tennis championships under his watch. We had to play Auburn on back-to-back seasons under his watch and have not gotten anything back. And now you've got this century-old rivalry that's been played, you know, pretty much every single season in the month of November that's getting moved to another date to accommodate the rival school they wanted it.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on the tennis thing because the other schools that started to bid for that have better facilities, bottom line. And that's why Georgia's upgrading theirs. I mean, Georgia's facility, the problem was they only have 4 indoor courts. So that made a lot of weather delays on NCAAs take a lot longer. They had to bus people over to Atlanta to play at Tech some of those times. So the facility itself needed an upgrade to continue to get those championships.
Right, which they knew and were told about and then didn't upgrade the facility.
Well, that's fair.
And now they're going to do it, and it's going to cost like $10 million more.
Than it would have?
Than it would have when they had done it.
Well,
so
that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot that goes into this, and bottom line here is that I just don't have enough concrete information to really dive in. Because, yes, I agree with what you're saying in terms of on the surface, that's what all this stuff looks like because there isn't a whole lot of transparency. But the lack of transparency for me works both ways. Like in terms of you don't have a lot of information, so making snap judgments, you know, is something that I'm just not personally going to dive into here. I don't fault anyone for feeling whatever way they feel about this situation. And even I would rather the Auburn game stay in November because it just feels like November. Like, dancing to the Soldier Boy while sweating buckets isn't something I can imagine because, you know, that's the thing. In 2007, it was pretty cold when Night Fell on Sanford and that song started playing.
Right.
So, you know, those things are just – I have the connection to, like, South Carolina. I'm usually going to be miserable and sweating to death. Auburn, it's usually going to be pretty nice weather. Might be a little chilly. Might need a coat.
Right. Well, I mean, what we do know now is Auburn wanted the game changed, and they got it changed.
But
so,
Georgia hasn't come out with any information as to positively or negatively how they – like, we haven't heard them say – anybody from Georgia come out and say, this is horrible for us. We also haven't heard anybody come out and say, this is great for us.
Right. Well, of course they're not. They don't say anything. But what we know is Auburn wanted the game changed, and they got it changed. So our rival benefited, and we got nothing out of it.
No, I agree, but that's the thing. You're saying we got nothing out of it. I just don't know if we got nothing. Because that's the thing.
Well,
I don't
because
know. Kirby may have wanted this.
The reason
but we
you
won't know.
The reason you don't know we got anything out of it is because we didn't. I trust you, if we were getting something out of it, we would know.
Again, I see what you're saying. I see your side of things. I see a lot of people's side of things on this. It's just, it's a weird story. It's a weird situation because it happens so quickly. Usually these things like are talked about and then they don't happen for months or years or whatever, but this story kind of came out that it was being talked about, and then before we knew it, it had already happened.
I know. That's really like the part where you're still sort of in shock about it. Like, wait a second, this is really happening, and like, we're not going to talk about this? We can't talk about it? We're not going to have a debate about it? But, you know, in the end, Auburn's president went to Penn State. Their AD went to Notre Dame. They don't care if that the Deep South's oldest rivalry has been played every year in the month of November. Those guys are carpetbaggers that came from someplace else. What's disappointing is that RAD grew up in Athens and went to Georgia, and rarely appears that he fights for the school. No matter how much he protests that stigma and that reputation, well, then you got to be more transparent. Let us know what you're doing, instead of just wanting to sit back and just hide behind the cover of what goes on in that room, we keep it in there, when that's not true. Because we find out plenty of stuff that's going on behind the scenes.
Well,
there's plenty of chirping and chatter.
Hopefully we find out more about this. I don't know if we will.
We won't.
In fact, I probably wouldn't hold my breath on, and somebody asked me, are we going to learn more about this? But
there's nothing more to learn.
Well,
Auburn wanted the game changed. We said, we bent the knee, Sam.
At this point for me, though, I understand if you want to be critical of Georgia, and that's fine. But in terms of, a lot of Georgia fans are accusing Auburn fans of whining about all this, and now Georgia fans have turned around and started whining about it. And granted, whining can have different connotations, but it's still whining, and that's what's happening right now. So for me, it's just look, is it an ideal situation? I don't really know. Some people say probably not, but it happened, and I don't think it's going to go back, so...
Well, the reason we're whining is because there doesn't appear to be any quid pro quo.
Well, no, I get that. I said there's different contexts for the whining.
Yeah.
But for me, ultimately, if it's not going to change, which I don't think it is.
This looks like, hey, Georgia, we don't want to have to play you in Alabama twice in 3 weeks in November anymore. We want to move the game. Well, all right.
Although Dave made this point on the morning show, if that schedule for 2020 comes out and Georgia's playing Auburn and Bama back-to-back, then yeah, I'll be mad. And then that's when I'll start to get a little more passionate and mad about this subject.
Well, that year they're both at home, so we'd have to go to Tuscaloosa that year.
Yeah,
I mean that would be part. I would think because the Tennessee and the Tech games would be at home, that Bama game might be slated then for November. But then Bama probably be pitching a fit that they've got to play us at Auburn. Yeah,
yeah. So what I've learned here, somebody's going to be whining. Eventually, somebody's going to be whining. So it is what it is, and hopefully for now, Georgia fans, you can be mad about it, but, we got a season to focus on. Finish the drill. Keep chopping. All that stuff.
Well, yeah, and it comes back to the idea of here's what they know. We're going to watch the Georgia and Auburn game whenever it gets played.
Yep.
And that's why the game got changed. But it's just, for me, the bigger picture is this constant sense that there's not a lot of fighting for what's best for Georgia out of the current leadership at Georgia. And if I'm wrong about it, they're not doing anything to change my mind, because it's a complete lack of transparency that comes out of that place, from the constant no comments to which is, akin to the same thing. I mean, not saying no comment directly, but we got 14 athletic directors and we have meetings, and what goes on in that room stays in that room. And I'm like, well, unless it doesn't. Which in this case, it didn't.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk some college basketball. He's Chris Bram. I'm Sam Franco. This is The Crossover on 960theref.com.
Friends and family piled around the table, sharing big cheesy slices of pizza, golden baked calzones and strombolis, platefuls of zesty lasagna. It's not Nana's Kitchen in Southern Italy. It's Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. At Fully Loaded, you'll find all these Italian favorites like wings, salads, and hoagies. A full bar and patio, too. Family dinner, date night, or hanging out with friends. Get more out of it at Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in the Manners Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, back here on The Crossover, we are presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Sam Franco, Chris Brame, along with you here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Georgia basketball faced Mississippi State at the Stegman Coliseum the other night. And Tyree Crump hit a three with under 10 seconds to go to tie the game. And then Jordan Harris committed a foul on a two-point shot attempt from Quindary Weatherspoon of Mississippi State. Very good player. I thought that call was harsh, given the context. I mean, that might be a foul in the 16th minute, but it doesn't feel like it should have been a foul in, with 10 seconds left to go in the game or whatever, even less than that when the foul happened, way less than that. So I thought that was harsh. But again, you send the guy to the foul line, he misses the first free throw, then some idiot throws a beanie dog onto the court, and Georgia's assessed a technical foul. A free throw is then hit, and then the next free throw is intentionally missed, and Georgia ends up losing the game by 1 point. This person, should never be allowed inside of a UGA sporting event ever again if they can help it.
Yeah, if they know who did it and can find them and figure out a way to ban them if you're throwing stuff on the court. And, like, throwing stuff on the court would never be appropriate.
That's the thing. Where were you – like, at what point, at any point in any sporting event, is it appropriate to throw stuff on the court? Only when you get a hat trick in hockey and they start throwing stuff.
Right.
That's it.
At least then the people on the court or the ice in that case are expecting
it. They know it's coming.
But like, even, like – I could at least understand it more if you were really upset by that call if Georgia was having a season where it's like fighting for the SEC title or something, and now like we're about to lose this game with a half second left because they called a foul. But Georgia has now lost 11 consecutive conference games. Why are you throwing something on the court at the end of that? We're 1-12 now? 11? Whatever the record is. Like, this is the worst season of Georgia basketball I can think of.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a long time, and like, but I don't think it's worth getting that mad where you're going to throw something on the court.
But here's the thing. For fans, it might be a lost season, and that's fine. You know, it's certainly one that will not go down in the record books or anything, but let me just paint this picture for you. These players have lost 10 straight SEC games.
Now 11, right?
I guess they won the first one and then have lost. So, yeah. But up to this point, they lost 10 straight SEC games. There's been adversity. There's been some controversy. They've been through a lot. When you lose that much, all you want to do is win, regardless of whatever impact it has on people. So from the fans' perspective, where it might be pointless or meaningless, all these tweets I was getting last night about it's not that big of a deal, tell that to the guys that just lost their 11th straight game in heartbreaking fashion because some idiot threw something on the court.
Yeah, but they still had a free throw anyway coming.
Right, but he missed technical. The first one. The second one was a technical free throw, and he was much more comfortable in that one because knowing, okay, I've got one more free throw here, so if I miss this one, it takes a little pressure off.
It does take
pressure
off.
The pressure context
off,
is completely different. Like, if that guy doesn't throw that thing on the court, there's no guarantee he makes it because he had missed the first free throw.
Right, but
– high pressure situation.
Yeah. What is he? What was that? He's like an 80% free throw shooter. 83%. So –
good, but, very, very good.
Yeah, but you're right. The context of the pressure's there, but he still had one free throw coming one way or another, even before that thing got thrown on the court. Here's the thing about the assessing a technical, though, with throwing something on the court.
How's there not a warning? Because you don't know if a Mississippi State fan was the
one. Well, yeah,
that
seems to be a road you would not want to be going down, because you could just, there could be any.
I'm
going to
show up at, you know, next time Georgia plays at Auburn or something, dressed in Auburn gear, and just start hurling stuff on the court at the end of the game.
Go up to Rupp Arena, start throwing stuff on the court, wearing Kentucky stuff. You know, if you get kicked out of there, like, I don't plan on coming back anyway. But even what if, you know, what if a degenerate gambler is at the game and they're like, "Oh my gosh,
ooh, I gotta fix the spread here."
Right, I've got the over, but I'm 2 points shy. I need another free throw here.
Boom. Yeah.
I mean, it's just. That was weird that they gave him a technical foul and there just wasn't some.
Well,
like,
you've got to have a warning first. Like, assess a warning first, because then, you know, it would give the security, whoever's in the bidding, a chance to find the person, get him out. You know, I made an announcement about not throwing things in the court. Coach Crean came, grabbed the mic from me. And
right.
I just think that, again, there's so many variables there that you can't prove that it was a Georgia in that moment. You can't prove it was a Georgia fan that did it. So assessing a technical foul.
Well,
even if it
was a Georgia fan, which it probably was, if somebody throws something on the court, that the outcome of the game shouldn't be impacted by that. Take the person, find who did it, and get them out of the arena, and don't ever let them come back in. But a point shouldn't be awarded to some team for that. The outcome of the game shouldn't be affected by it. So it was a weird rule that, I got to be honest with you, I didn't even know was a rule.
I didn't either, but I'll say this. Attending UGA games is a privilege, not a right. That is not something that you just are allowed to do. You know, there are rules that come within that, and this person broke them. And I'm not in favor of second chances or whatever here. You know, this is a moment where this person did something extremely selfish, and it cost Georgia in the end. We'll double back here to Zion Williamson to wrap things up here on the crossover. Brame, how would you feel if you were the guy that spent over $10,000 on a ticket to last night's game, and I say last night because we're recording this on Thursday, only to have Zion Williamson play 30 seconds and then get bounced?
Well, now, Obama was there. Was he the one, as it turns out, that spent all that money on that
ticket,
maybe?
I'm not sure.
That was a good seat he had.
But it was just crazy that that happened. And then the game after that was just a North Carolina bloodbath.
It was horrendous. And, I mean, what were the two teams combined shooting threes, like 5 for 35 or something?
Yeah, it was just a bad shooting. That was a bad overall game. I mean, kudos to Carolina for getting the win in Cameron. But once Zion went down, I mean, the more entertaining thing was following Twitter for all the Zion tweets than it was for actually watching the game.
I'll be it'll be interesting. I don't know who Duke plays next, and I'm going to assume Zion isn't going to play in that game.
Say it's a, what, a minor knee sprain, but you got to be cautious.
And you know, I understand, like, in the moment in that game it happens and you're his teammate, maybe that's on your mind and weighing on you, but I was actually stunned at how awful Duke was without him. Given the fact that they've got, I mean, another guy in RJ Barrett.
And Reddish are both very, very good players.
Yeah. I mean, and Barrett figures to be, you know, right up there drafted around the same time that Zion
is. As does Reddish. All three of those guys are projected to be pretty high first round
picks. So, yeah, it was pretty stunning. Now, I mean, the thing about it, you could tell, like, the drop-off between Zion Williamson and that kid Jack White who came in to replace him was, you know, that was pretty stark.
Was he taking some time off from his recording career?
Yeah.
Okay.
From playing guitar with his guitar with his drummer sister.
That's
who may
right.
not actually be his sister.
Yeah, that was a weird whole thing from the beginning there. But all in all, you know, Zion, the main thing that I take from this is that there are so many people that come out after something like this trying to tell you what to do. It's like, don't play any more college basketball, or you are to your team to play. You know what? How about we let the kid make his own decision and then not criticize him for it? Because guess what? It's his life.
Well, and there's even the whole marketing standpoint that he had to wear faulty equipment because the school has this deal with Nike that he doesn't get anything for, and then he's wearing their product, but he's not getting anything for it. And which I follow and I get that, but at the same time, like, we know how basketball is operating when it comes to recruiting, and
right.
these kids are already affiliated with these shoe companies, which is why.
Look at what Adidas Nike, did with all
right,
that.
Right, exactly. Which is why Nike schools get certain guys and Adidas schools get certain guys.
Yeah,
so
it's
like,
a seedy underbelly.
Yeah. I mean, Zion is already, like, affiliated with Nike in some way.
Probably.
But that he did have some faulty equipment last night. I mean, I've never seen a guy just completely blow out his shoe like that.
Yeah, that shoe just completely blew up. I mean, and that's the thing. That might be more of a Zion thing because he's such a strong freak than anything else. I mean, I tweeted last night his signature shoe is going to need to be made out of vibranium, the stuff from Black Panther, because, I mean, you know, it's just
– yeah.
I mean, he's busting out of shoes.
But he's not like all these other companies where it's like Under Armour or –
like, dude, this could have happened to you too.
Well, yeah, but like the reason he's at Duke is because he's got a Nike connection, so he'll end up with Nike when he gets to the pros.
All right, that'll wrap things up for us here on The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Once again, congratulations to Jack for winning this week's Fully Loaded gift card, the $20 gift card to Fully Loaded, for having the Fully Loaded question of the week. It's simple. Email us, 960theref@coxradio.com. You'll have your chance to win a $20 gift card to Fully Loaded just for sending us a question. So it's very simple. Again, 960theref@coxradio.com. He's Chris Brain. I'm Sam Franco. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with another exciting episode of The Crossover right here on 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brain, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville on 960theref.com.